Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. We're ready to get back into our Father's Word, the book of Job. Job, of course, you'll never forget, means persecuted in the Hebrew tongue. Job, of course, is the product, if you would, at this time, of an argument or a discussion between Satan and God. Satan says, or God says first, what do you think about my child Job? He was proud of Job. He could count on Job. You see, he and Satan both even knew Job from the first earth age, so to speak, before the flesh body was ever brought into being. All souls coming from God, of course. And Satan said, I can still take him if you'll just move your protection out away from him. God said, I'll do that. You can do everything, but you can't take his soul. All right? And Satan has made a good try, but the main thing is, Satan is using Job's friends. But you might even say his best friends. But there's one thing about it. If you've got best friends like these, you won't need any enemies. Because when Job lost everything he had, and it's obvious so far by little tidbits sown by the three so-called wise men, but they're kind of dumb, if you want to know the truth about it. The tidbits would show that Job has always helped them, picked them up when they needed it, built them up when he could. And Job, being a very righteous man, that he was, no one is perfect, but he was probably very close to it. That's why God was so pleased with him. So we come, Job had just answered and here we come up to the second round of Eliphaz. So chapter 15, verse 1, let's go with it. Don't listen to men. That's the whole lesson. These are ratchet jaws, and they're going to go. So listen to your father. Don't listen to this man or any other man without checking them out in the Word of God. And I would remind you again, when you got one of these nuts speaking, you better not teach it as gospel from the Word of God, because it's not the Word of God, it's the Word of Eliphaz. All right? A ratchet jaw. So, rightly divide the Word of God or you'll end up in trouble. Okay? Chapter 15, verse 1, and it reads, Then answered Eliphaz the Temanite and said, this ought to be good, verse 2, Should a wise man utter vain knowledge? You got to work the word wind, ruach, in the Hebrew, because it's there in the manuscripts. And fill his belly with the east wind. A man that's supposed to do all the talking you're doing, Job, you are just blowing hot air, so to speak, right off the desert. Well, now, you know, that's a kind thing for a so-called wise person that's giving you advice to tell you you're full of hot air, isn't it? I mean, would that make you feel better? I don't think it would me. I think I'd have one less friend. I'd put that dude on the road, all right? He continues, though. He's not going to quit. Verse 3. Should he reason with unprofitable talk? Question. Or with speeches wherewith he can do no good? So, Job, you're just... And bear in mind, I want you to just recall Job's speeches. He says, hey, look, guys. Just shut your mouths a minute and listen to me. If you're all accusing me of being the greatest sinner in the world, name one. Time and place. They haven't addressed that. All they're saying, it's obvious from your hard luck that you are the sinner of sinners. And not only that, your children were. Well, if you'd lost all 10 of them, that wouldn't help either, would it? Verse 4. Yea, thou casteth off fear and restraineth prayer before God. Now, that's a slap in the face if ever I saw one. What it says, thou casteth off fear, that means reverence in the Hebrew tongue. You cast off or throw away reverence to Almighty God and restraineth prayer, that's to say devotions before God. You won't let us pray for you, Job. Hey, if you have to have somebody like this praying for you, you got trouble there too. Because they don't know God. You want me to document that? Remember in the last lecture, Job's, if I can find the line here real quickly, I'll give it. And if I can't, I won't. Job would say in chapter 13, verse 15, we're talking about him disrespecting God or not loving God. To show you that man's a liar, I want to document it. This was Job's speech in 13:15. Though he slay me, that's to say, though God kills me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. In other words, I'm wise enough that I can maintain my own way before him. So you see, this guy's a joker. He lied. He certainly hasn't made it showing that much respect and faith in God that even if God decided to kill him, there would be a purpose for it. Okay, so again, what can I say? Be very careful when you listen to men. Verse 5, for thy mouth uttereth thine iniquity. Your mouth is your sin, Job. And thou chooseth the tongue of craftiness. Job, you're just using a tongue of deceit. What does he mean by that? You're claiming that you love God and everything, and it's obvious from what God has done to you that you're the greatest sinner of sinners. Are you trying to say that God isn't fair? Well, it wasn't God doing it to him, though. It was Satan. And that's the secondary lesson, if not the first, that you should learn from this. If you let Satan, he'll eat you up. He'll take over your business, your home, your family, the whole the whole of everything that pertains to you, especially if you're one of God's elect. He's got your name in the typewriter, friend, but you have power over him. Don't put up with it. Take names, kick dragon. That's simple. 6. Thine own mouth condemneth thee, and not I. Oh, no, not I, little old Eliphaz. Yea, thine own lips testify against thee. Because, see, Job had just accused them of playing God. They're trying to judge him. Rather than giving some advice that'll pick him up, trying to play God, they didn't like it. 7. Art thou the first man that was born? This is said in sarcasm. I mean, it's in a sarcastic way, as you can well tell. Or wast thou made before the hills? I mean, you know so much, Job. You were the first man. You were the highest of everything. 8. Hast thou heard the secret of God? And dost thou restrain wisdom to thyself? Do you usurp from God? And I mean, you're the only true wise one there is on earth. I mean, the three of us know what the score is, Job. The three of them knew nothing. They're a bunch of windbags, ratchet jaws. Now, who do you listen to? I tell you what, I like to win friends and influence people, but you want to be real careful. There are a lot of them in pulpits. I mean, these that like to say what God thinks and this and that without ever cracking the Word of God to document. Well, I just feel like. Well, it doesn't matter what some nutcase feels like. It's what God says. That's what counts, and you'd better remember it or you'll have a hard life. Verse 9. What knowest thou that we know not? What do you know that we don't know, Job? What understandest thou which is not in us? Well, there's one thing he knew he hadn't sinned. He knew he had repented for any sin he had ever done. These fruitcakes didn't. It may offend you that I call them fruitcakes. God calls them worse than that before we get through the book of Job. So I feel quite at liberty and at ease in branding them for what they are for your benefit. Verse 10. You might have some friends just like this. And I don't want them treating you that way. That they think they're so religious. And they'll say, well, what do they know compared to what we know? Okay. Anytime that so-called wisdom, I said so-called wisdom, not wisdom, ventures away from facts and accurate truth and the data of the fact, then it's not really wisdom, for wisdom must be based on facts, truths, or it isn't wisdom. It's wind. Verse 10. With us are both the gray-headed and the very aged men much elder than thy father. In other words, with us is the experience of the world, Job. We're quoting the elders, the teachings from way, way down. Now, I got some news for you. This may be the root of their trouble. Can you latch on to that? So we've got experience. I'll tell you what. You give me one sentence from God for what all the elders say, and I'll take the sentence of God, because you listen to elders and you'll end up in the ditch. You listen to men and you're in trouble, friend. If you can't discern the fault in that statement. Oh, but dear God, you should have respect for elders. I do. I'll tell you what, it was very much in my generation that we did respect our elders. But we were taught not to respect a fool. So you can't be an elder of wisdom and a fool at the same time. That won't slide, friend. And you'd better be able from God's word to discern the difference. Experience. You know, you can always learn from experience unless you're a fool. And you can't learn from fools other than don't go where they go. Verse 11. Are the consolations of God small with thee? The very word of wisdom of God and His teachings and His love, are they a small thing with thee? Is there any secret thing with thee? Is there, you haven't got some little secret sin that you're hiding from us, do you, Job? That's what they're really saying, okay? Is your anger so small that the sin of it isn't showing? Well, they might have thought old Job had a little anger, but hey, let one of them talk to this old Marine the way they're talking to him, and they'd see more than a little anger. Verse 12, I'd tell them when the stage made the next stop, they were out of there. 12, if they made it that far. Verse 12, why doth thine heart carry thee away? Why do you let your own mind overpower you? And what do thy eyes wink at? You know, this little winking eye is a sign of pride and loftiness, like I know something the world doesn't. You want to mark a man like that too, but that wasn't what Job was doing. He said, let's just stick to the facts and we'll get along. Just do me these two favors. Stick to the facts. They won't do it. 13. That thou turnest thy spirit against God. Your anger. He had an angry spirit. That's what they're saying. Why do you turn it against God and let us such words go out of thy mouth? Words like, I trust God enough that if He kills me, though He does kill me, I will still trust Him. I call that faith. So, you see, man, it's the majority. Job's only one, and there's three of them. Yeah, you got one wise man and three fools. I could call them several names. And which are you going to listen to? Mainly, you better listen to none of them unless you check it out with your father, even Job. Because always remember this, the Word of God is God's Word. Man's Word is man's Word, whether it's written in the Bible or not. If a man trusted by God states this message came from God, that's one thing. If he states this message came of my own mind, which Paul did in a case or two, then you take it at that value. He was a learned and a fair and an honest teacher. I would pretty well take Paul's word as his judgment from his experience of the Scripture and the law. But there is a lot of men I wouldn't. So you have to learn discernment along with this, okay? And I hope I don't put a burden or turn it into a burden that is not experienced in discernment. But you gain experience from reading God's Word as to what God says, and be careful of men, all right? That's what this whole lesson is about. Verse 14, what is man that he should be clean, that's to say innocent, and he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous, just, so to speak? Well, they're not, really. We all fall short. The Job's about as good as you get. What they're trying to do is get him to open up and start telling sins. And I'm sorry, there's just one problem. Job didn't have any. They're blaming Job and God when Satan's the cause. Don't ever let that happen to you. 15. Behold, he, that's to say our father, putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. Now, well, that's a scripture right there. It says God doesn't trust even the host in heaven. Who said that? I'm just giving you a little quiz, something to kick around in your mind. Who said that? God didn't. You think God didn't trust Michael? Do you think God trusted Satan? No, he didn't. He didn't trust the ones that followed him either. But for some idiot man to say God didn't trust any of the host in heaven, he's a fruitcake. That is a statement that won't fly. I would ask him, well, let me know this, dear brother. When was the last time you were there? Tell me the last time you were in heaven, and I might have a little look into whether you've got sanity or not. All right? Now, I drive some of the spiritualists wild sometimes, but I've had several spiritual experiences, and I know of what I speak. That's a lie, is what I'm telling you, okay? So, but many preachers will take that scripture and just preach a whole sermon on it. That's what started the Bible. Yeah, it is. But a liar said it. 16. How much more abominable and filthy is man? That's true. Which drinketh iniquity like water. Just laps it up like a dog. Well, there are men that do lap up sin like a dog, and there are some that try their best, and thank God he considers trying as just nigh perfect. 17. I will show thee, hear me. So now, Job, you just listen to me, and that which I have seen I will declare. Now, 18. Which wise men have told from their fathers and have not hid it? This has been now sharpen up for me. This is really good, and I want you to. Did you understand that? Verse 12. Which wise men have told from their fathers and have not hid it? They haven't kept it secret. They've handed it down from generation to generation. I don't know. Have we got any red flags going up here yet in your mind? I would hope so. What is passed down from generation to generation? Traditions of men. Did it say, or did he say, this is what God has passed down from generation? No. This is the traditions of the elders. In other words, it's a bunch of malarkey. As far as you're concerned, until you check it out in the Word of God, how intelligent are you? Again, we'll have preachers probably next weekend that'll preach sermons on this. It's written in the Word of God. Okay, this is what the elders said. Now, they were fools many of the times. What am I saying? Am I offending the elders? No. I'm telling you as a Christian, you better check out everything you later rest in your mind being the seedbed of your wisdom. It had better come from God. You better have verified it from God and not listen to men. So that's what we're going to get, is a bunch of things that are handed down from the good elders. Boy, I say, what is it? What? How can we go by that in this generation? Well, pick up a few snakes and rattle on here and rattle on there, and it's the church, it's the way. You know, play a guitar here and bash one there, and all kinds of wisdom, really wise stuff down through the ages, you know, and chase Easter bunnies and catch fast rabbits. That's very, very biblical. Well, it's just traditions. Nonsense. Okay, got it loaded and locked? Overplaying it? I don't think so. I want to make sure that you understand this is not the Word of God we're about to read here. That is to say, a word from God, but traditions of men, the elders. Okay, verse 19, was that the next one? It is. Unto whom alone the earth was given, and no stranger passed among them. Boy, that gives them a set of credentials, doesn't it? 20. I would not rather it said, this word came from God, these are the things we're to do. Well, he didn't. The wicked man travaileth with pain all his days, and the number of years is hidden to the oppressor. I mean, their number of years are destined. If a man really travaileth with pain all his days, that's what happens to the wicked. Now, I want you to picture where he's headed here. Here sits poor old Job. And there ain't a man that's in more pain than Job is. I mean, his sores is breaking out with more sores. His sores have got sores on them. And the poor, miserable wretch, he looks like death warmed over. And this guy is saying a wicked man is going to have pain. Now, have you ever had a preacher try to preach to one individual and say, You know, God hates a miserable sinner like you. Well, that's kind of what this guy is doing. I mean, Job's sitting there suffering right in front of him, and he's saying a wicked man naturally suffers with pain. That's what the elders say. Verse 21. A dreadful sound is in his ears. That's a fear is, he hears fear in his ears all the time. In prosperity, the destroyer will come upon him. In other words, you have to admit, Job had a lot of property. Job had a lot of things, and yeah, it was destroyed. Why has that happened? Because of sin. There's just one problem. Job hadn't sinned. Verse 22. He believeth not that he shall return out of darkness. He doesn't think he can escape it. And he is waited for of the sword. For of the sword. In other words, he's lost everything, he's wicked, and if he doesn't repent, he's going to die. All right? 23. He wandereth abroad for bread, saying, where is it? He knoweth that the day of darkness is ready at his hand. I mean, he goes around seeking food, but he knows the day of darkness is there because he's a sinner, a miserable wretch. And he might as well have said, just like you, Job. I mean, that's who he's preaching to, see. 24. Trouble and anguish shall make him afraid. They shall prevail against him as a king ready to the battle. Do you understand? This is not the word of God. These are the traditions of men. 25. Is there some truth in him? Of course. But if God were deciphering Job's problems, this isn't the problem. The problem was Satan. Okay? 25. For he searcheth out his hand, he stretcheth out his hand against God and strengtheneth himself against the Almighty. El Shaddai. You know, and that's what a wicked person does. And when, you see, I hope you can catch this. I want you to get the frame of mind of a fool. He's quoting these great traditions of his ancestors. And he's saying, if you're wicked, you're going to have pain. Well, it's obvious Job had pain. And he's trying to say, you're fighting against God, Job, because you're fighting against us. You told us to keep our mouth shut. Say, don't you understand you're fighting against God? Well, he wasn't. Job just told them to keep, unless they could name a sin, stop accusing him. Unless you can tell me how I sinned, where I sinned, and when. Keep your mouth shut about sin. They just go on, ratchety, ratchety, ratchety. I don't suppose any of you have ever been fortunate enough to meet people like this. But I think it's the height of hypocrisy for someone to say because you talk against them, you talk against God. That's kind of, again, they're putting themselves in God's place. 26. He runneth upon him, even on his neck, upon the thick bosses of his bucklers. This is an idiom or a Hebraism. It means it is the height of loftiness or pride. So, Job, you are so prideful. If you just would start repenting, telling the truth here. But you sit there still in all your pain and misery like you were right, a general leading into war to win. 27. Because he covereth his face with his fatness. His old jaws are just, I mean, they're right out there. And maketh collops of fat on his flanks. He's got love handles that would sink a battleship, all right? This is speaking of jaws and love handles, and he's in business. You know, this is. I hope you understand how insulting this is to Job. I would not think that Job had much weight left on him. He probably looked more like a skeletal remains. Verse 28. And he dwelleth in desolate cities and in houses which no man inhabiteth, which are ready to become heaps. God's going to destroy him regardless of what. He's wicked. Now stop and think again. I mean, look back to chapter 1. What happened to Job's houses? He had 10 children in it, and it fell on him, and it was a heap. I mean, do you understand he's describing Job to a T as the wicked of all wickedness? The elders said it. I suppose that men can say anything, but I hope you're intelligent enough that you can fret out what men say and that you can sort it from what God says. God speaks intelligence. These are fools. He's absolutely preaching straight at Job. Many would say, well, didn't it say he was? Well, of course he is. But he's not trying to comfort him by any means. 29. He shall not be rich, neither shall his substance continue, neither shall he prolong the perfection thereof upon the earth. Sorry, Job had lost every riches he had. He's still going right for the juggler on Job here. 30. He shall not depart out of darkness. The flame shall dry up his branches, and by the breath of his mouth shall he go away. By the wind of his mouth, like the scorching sun of the desert, he'll be dried up into nothing. That's what happens to sinners, according to this man. Okay? 31. Let not him that is deceived trust in vanity. This would be better. Vanity can most often is translated empty. This means evil. So let's read it that way. Let not him that is deceived trust in evil, for evil shall be his recompense. You reap what you sow. 32. It shall... Now, first of all, let me ask you something. Has Job sowed anything evil or trusted in evil? Of course not. He abhorred evil. So this also is a lie in reference to Job. 32. It shall be accomplished before his time, and his branch shall not be green. This means a palm branch, all right? It's specifically palm in the manuscripts. I can't help but think of the time that Messiah come walking into Jerusalem and the palm leaves were spread before him, and God sent us a Savior that gave us the power and the authority to break ourselves free of nuts like this and to put Satan on the run at high port. 33. He shall shake off his unripe grape as a vine, and shall cast off his flower as the olive. In other words, he's going to blast in the field. Do you know what that means? You know, country people have an advantage in understanding God's word, because when you work with agriculture, most of the analogies written in God's word were from natural sources or agriculture, in a sense. Blast means the flower may come, it doesn't pollinate, or it doesn't receive enough water, and it aborts itself. It falls to the ground. It amounts to nothing. 34. For the congregation of hypocrites shall be desolate, and fire shall consume the tabernacles of bribery. Again, what happened to Job's places? Did a fire come or not? 35. They conceive mischief and bring forth vanity, and their belly prepareth deceit. Now, I'm going to guarantee you something. With friends like that, you certainly don't need enemies. I mean, that is, as these rounds continue, they keep being more abrasive to Job, if you understand the word. Now, that entire chapter is man's words, which means, from a ratchet jaw, which means it's a bunch of malarkey. You will find some good statements, but as far as helping Job, and that happens to be our situation here, we need to help him, it was, you talk about hot air. It was worthless. All it could have possibly done is anger Job, because anyone would be a fool if they were sitting among around some man. You'd know that it wasn't coming from God. He was making it up to torture his victim. 16. Let's hear a few words from Job here. Verse 1. And then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. You know, if I needed comfort, I'll tell you right now, all three of you make me about as miserable can be. And Job was just being honest. That was a miserable production, that chapter 15. Verse 3. Shall vain words have an end? Are you all ever going to stop blowing air? Or what emboldeneth what provoked thee that thou entered us? What in the world would cause you to come off with something like that? Job is still saying, if I sin, don't blow hot air on me. Tell me where it was. Well, they can't, of course. All they can do is relate traditions of men of why some people get punished. And it's real easy to use traditions of men and say the wicked man shall never succeed, because sooner or later somebody's, just in real life, do you think the wicked always succeed? No, sooner or later we catch him and hang him. That's life, all right? That's God expects us to. He gave us orders to. Verse 4. I also could speak as you do. I could blow hot air too if I wanted to. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. I could join together in this bunch of ratchet jaw accusations that are being made that don't amount to a hill of beans from traditions of men. Verse 5. But I would strengthen you. That's what I would do. I wouldn't tear you down and spit on you. I would strengthen you. I'd build you up. Strengthen you with my mouth. And the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. That means to lessen the pain. My lips would lessen your pain. You are giving me, I'm sure they were giving him a bigger pain. They were a bigger pain. I want to tell you what kind of pain they were, but I better not. They were a bigger pain to him than his boils. All right? And they didn't make him feel, he said, I'd be trying to make you feel better. Verse 6, though I speak, my grief is not assuaged. As I speak, I don't feel any less pain. And though I forbear, what am I eased? In other words, I practice all the self-control I can practice, and I can barely hold my sanity here without it giving way to pain. Why? He was one of God's elect. God knew he wouldn't break. One more verse, and we better stop for this lecture. 7. But now he, that's our Father, hath made me weary. Thou hast made desolate all my company. You have, a company means my family. You made desolate all my family. He talked about them. He called every last soul in Job's family a wicked, evil sinner. According to God, no. According to traditions of men. And traditions of men will always make void the word of God. I thank God for this book of Job, because it gives a teacher a real opportunity to talk about ratchet jaws from pulpits without really offending anyone but the ratchet jaws. You know, right from the Bible, very scriptural. Because we know from experience, in the last lecture, we had a questions, saying, I heard this preacher say that the way you should tithe is in this particular chapter of Job, and it was one of these nutcases speaking. Now, you know, if some preacher has to use a nutcase's way to raise money, I got news for you. He's in bad shape. But anyway, listen to your father. Don't listen to this man or any other man without checking him out in the Word of God. Or, friend, there's going to be rain on your parade in life. But if you please God and give Him pleasure, you'll have smooth sailing. There will be rocks in the road, but you can cut it. God will see that you can, just like Job will before this is over. Hey, what about Job? Is Job having trouble, though he's in all this pain and outnumbered? I think he's holding his own pretty good. I'm so proud of him. I know the father must have been. Let me ask you this. How are you doing? From where does your wisdom come? From God's word or from men? Because how does God feel about you? Are you able to think using common sense, horse sense, and logic that our beloved Father created these things for us that we may tend them? How are you doing? Think about it, beloved. Learn to discern and divide the Word of God, that just and truthfulness comes to the forefront and sweeps aside ratchet jaws, windbags, and lest there be no place except hell for them. All right, don't miss the next lecture. We're getting good here in Job. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?